All right. Last time, how many of you were here last time? You were here, weren't you? I was talking, and were you here?
I was in Rannoch.
Yeah, that's right. You were on your holiday, weren't you?
Yes.
I talked a bit about the Jesus prayer, didn't I? And some other things. I thought I'd go a bit further along that sort of theme. And it's a bit different from the sort of prayer you'd expect to pray when you go to a prayer meeting. You expect a particular type of prayer, and especially when you're a charismatic person, you think prayer meetings are going to be like this. And I had never imagined I would pray in this way. I think I said last time, until God called me out of my busy Christian leadership into these years where the main thing I did was pray. And when you try and spend all your day every day praying, you realize actually you don't know so much about prayer. And you also realize what do you pray about, and is prayer just asking God to do different things, or is there more to that? And one thing I discovered quite early on, because my time of going into this ministry of prayer really coincided with a special time in my life and my ministry. I probably told you this before. We had a sort of revival experience in Oslo, where God just came into the room where we were, and just for 9 hours we were just like in the presence of God, in a way that nobody could stand. People were laying on the floor for 9 hours, and there was just no, all the schedule was cancelled, and it was just the most amazing time. And, cutting short the story, that time coincided with me meeting up with John and Carol Arnott from the Toronto church, and shortly after that experience, someone paid for me to go over and to meet them and talk to them. And we started, working together, basically. We did things to bring them and their ministry into Norway and also into Iceland. And I was involved in all of that. And so it was a special time in my life where, in Toronto, I know you don't hear so much about the Toronto blessing as we used to hear in the 90s. But they're still experiencing the same move of God that they did in the 90s. It's just you don't hear about it. And it was, I think, about 2005, 2006, 2007, something around there, when I went over for the first time. I'd never gone the first time round. In 94, I'd always thought, I'm not sure it's for me, that. And I was busy doing mission, and I just never got involved in it. I was in Iceland and somehow it missed me. And so but when I went then, it had been going for however many years, 12 years, and they were still doing meetings 5 nights a week. And I mean, they were like, I went the first time when I don't think there was a, I'm not sure if there was even a conference on, actually, but there were just meetings every night. And because people were coming from all over the world still, when there were conferences and when there weren't conferences, just to meet the Holy Spirit. And there was such a strong presence of God that up until this revival experience, really, I hadn't experienced that so strongly in my ministry. It hadn't been a strong part of what I was doing. I've been doing mission and evangelism, church planting, and always prayed a lot, but this thing of the presence of God and being in his presence wasn't such a strong factor in my life. And so, when we had this experience in Oslo where God just came, I just suddenly realized how amazing it is to be in God's presence. It's life-changing, more than any preaching ever could be, because you meet God himself. And yeah, just everything is different then. And so then I went to Toronto, and that was the same thing, and that was what they were in, and they talked about and preached about, and also Bill Johnson and his guys at Bethel, Redding, California. The same thing, the presence of God, being in the presence and encountering God and so on. And so in all of that, I started to understand and experience that a lot of the prayer that I'd been doing before didn't really help me to meet with God, because it was a different kind of prayer. Not that it was wrong, it was just different. And that there are different kinds of prayer. And like Paul says, you know, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. So prayer isn't just one thing. There's a lot of different types of prayer, and, you know, the different types of prayer are all quite different. And the sort of prayer I was used to was what you could call praying with the mind, where, you know, you'd think of a situation, or you'd be praying for a situation, whether it's a church or a nation or a situation in the world or politics, whatever, and you'd understand the situation, you'd understand what needed to happen, and you'd pray prayers that you had worked out what to pray with your mind. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not that that's a wrong type of prayer or a lesser type of prayer. But to meet with God, you can't meet God with your mind, because God is spirit. And spirit and mind don't meet. They're like, you know, they just don't, they're on a different plane. And God loves our mind. He's given us our minds. You know, our mind isn't wrong. It's God-given, and we should use it for him. And it's good to pray with the mind. The scripture talks about that in many other places. But this prayer to be able to meet with God and to encounter God, I was really hungry to learn how to do that. And I very quickly realized that I needed to learn how to pray with my heart and with my spirit. And I started to see that praying with the spirit is a lot more than praying in tongues. You know, praying in tongues is a big subject, and I think I've talked about that once at these meetings. And for most Christians, we're so shallow in our praying in tongues. You know, we should and could do much more with that. But I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, wanting to teach me how to pray and how to meet with God, how to encounter God, how to pray in the Spirit, that was not just praying in tongues, but praying with my mind also. And I talked a bit about that last month when we were talking about the Jesus Prayer, and how in other traditions of the church, the Orthodox and the monastic and some of those guys, they're much more into contemplative prayer. And you go to their services, you know, the Protestant church is very based around the teaching of the word. But you go to the Orthodox church or the Catholic church a bit, it's much more based around experience of encountering God. And, you know, you've got the incense and the icons, and they all have their meaning, which, you know, we tend not to understand. And some people think, oh, it's blasphemy and whatever else. But it's actually just set up differently, because they're trying to meet God in a different way, really. So I was thinking all this through and experiencing God greatly in my heart, my spirit, and this great sense of the presence of God. And whenever I tried to pray with my mind, the presence would be less. And whenever I was just quiet and rested, somehow I could meet with God. And how do I pray without using my mind, you know? But still, my mind's got to be there, because if you switch your mind off, you go to sleep. And so how do I do that? And during that time, God started speaking to me about that in the in the church, much of what we pray for is to do with what we think is urgent, and actually very little of it is to do with what he thinks is really important. And I started thinking back of the things I've been praying for over the last few months and years. And I think for many of us, the things we pray about, they're here today and gone tomorrow. You know, we pray for issues with people that we meet, or sicknesses, or issues at work. And really what Jesus called the troubles of this life, you know, the cares of this world. And he actually, in the parable of, you know, like the birds and whatever, he said, don't be concerned about those things. Don't worry about those things. He didn't quite go as far to say as don't even pray about those things. But he goes, you don't need to even think about those because your Father already knows about those. You know, God has got it covered, so you don't need to stress about that. And so I started to think that most of what I prayed about, Jesus really said, you don't need to bother about that. I've got that covered. So then, if I shouldn't pray about that, what should I actually pray about? And then, I think I was talking about this last time, you know, the scriptures in Romans 8, where it talks about the Holy Spirit knows our weakness, and he prays for us, you know, according to the will of God. And then a few verses later in Romans 8, it talks about Jesus, you know, is our great high priest, and he's also interceding for us. So I started thinking, okay, what does Jesus pray? If I could just hear what Jesus is praying for me, and if I could pray those prayers, if I could hear what the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit praying for me? What's the Holy Spirit praying for you? And God started talking to me and saying, what you need to pray about are the things that will really, you know, change your life so that you become the person that I've called you to be in 10 years' time. Think what you want to be in 10 years' time, and then pray the prayers that will get you to that place where you should be in 10 years' time. And instead of praying about something that's here today and gone tomorrow, and then another thing and another thing, all of which pass, and whether they happen or not, you know, it's like, instead of that, think of what God has called you to be. What has God called you to do? And pray for that thing. And so I started on this process of trying to find, you know, what should be the prayers of my life. And so, you know, it's in the charismatic world, we tend to be very spontaneous. And I was brought up in the Church of England, and where every Sunday we had the same prayers and readings and routine, and I rebelled a lot against that. It didn't help me at all. And when I got saved, you know, I felt it was all vain repetition and meaningless. And a lot of it, to be honest, really was, you know, because people, their heart wasn't in it. But then when I started looking at scripture, and how Jesus asked his disciples to pray, and also how the apostles prayed, I started to see that actually Jesus said, when you pray, say this. And so with, you know, the Lord's Prayer, we know Jesus seemed to favour people praying the same thing over and over again, the same words. That's interesting, isn't it? Because it's very different from what we're used to in the charismatic churches. And I've got a few PowerPoints if I can get it to work. Is it going to work today? It's not working yet. Is that on? Is it on? Isn't it funny? It worked perfectly before we started. Just excuse me one sec, because there's a few scriptures and things I'd like to put on. Just play with the computer.
was looking at one direction. He said I need to whisper on the field.
So...
In a human way, you are what you eat. That's a common saying, isn't it? And if you eat badly, you become like this. Okay? If you don't eat enough, you become like that. So what are you like with your prayer life? Because for Christians... you become what you pray. Or are you like this? This is Usain Bolt. So he eats a lot, but he combines eating a lot with exercising a lot, and he eats particular things. I mean, look at those muscles. That's how we should be spiritually. So what are you like? Are you that? No time or energy for prayer? Or are you just praying for yourself like this? And so, you know, when you just think, what have I prayed about for the last week? Just think of the subjects. How many of your prayers is to do with God blessing me? God help me? God speak to me? It's a bit painful, this, isn't it? God bless my family. God bless my church. That's a bit better, but often it's because then I'll have a better time there. But that, you know, really, that sums up most people's private prayer life, to be absolutely honest. And yet, when, you know, Jesus taught us, he said, when you pray, pray this. And I'm not going to talk in great detail at the Lord's Prayer tonight. But if you look at the content of what it is, those lines, I think there's 13 lines in the Lord's Prayer. 4 lines are to do with worship. So that's what, 25%, isn't it? When you pray, do you spend 25% of your time worshipping the Lord? And then in the green there, 3, that's actually the worship is 33%, and this is 25%. I'm not very good at maths. But this is praying about other things that have nothing to do with you. So a quarter of the time, Jesus goes, when you pray, I don't want you to pray about yourself or the church or whatever. I want you to pray things that will actually not benefit you directly at all, but that will actually benefit the kingdom of God itself. So that's to do with that. And then there are 4 lines to do with yourself. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sin. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. So of those 13 lines, 4 are worship, 3 lines prayer not for ourselves, 4 lines prayer for ourselves, 1 line reminding ourselves of what God's word said, and 1 line addressing God, our Father in heaven. So it's interesting that, isn't it? Why did Jesus say, when you pray, I want you to say these words? I wonder if Jesus had actually thought quite hard about those words, whether he got them from his Holy Spirit. That just like when you make a cake, if you just put random ingredients in, it's probably not going to come out very well. But if you work out exactly what should be in a cake and you get the correct balance and you put those ingredients in together, then you have something that is more than the sum of the parts. And there's something about that with prayer, that when you pray in the right way, you have more, hi Beryl, you have more, something that is more than just the sum of the parts, something that is balanced and that's healthy. Now just let me talk for a minute about repeating in prayer, because again, I think I talked about this last month, but I'm just going to say it again. Because a lot of charismatic believers myself very much included at the time, had a thing against saying formal prayers that somebody else had written, and especially saying them over and over. To me, I didn't like that. It was meaningless. But, and you know, people, well, doesn't it say in the scripture that you shouldn't repeat yourself when you pray? But it actually doesn't say that. This is the scripture that people refer to. It says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. So that doesn't say that you shouldn't repeat yourself in prayer. It just says don't keep on babbling and babbling, and that the more you say, the more likely God is to hear you. That's what that scripture says. Whereas on the contrary, if you look at other scriptures, it seems that the scriptural model is that we do repeat prayer. And so we've already said the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, say this. In other words, repeat the words. So one of the great apostolic prayers, I'm sure we're all familiar with this. Paul, who, you know, Paul must have been a role model for us. Surely we need to imitate him. And so he says here, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his incomparably great power for us to believe. So he goes, every time I pray for you, I say this. So he's basically, he's worked out what that group of people need. And rather than praying a different thing every time he thinks about them, he prays again and again and again and again and again. So that's what the Holy Spirit was talking to me about. Don't pray about what's urgent. Pray about what is really important. Pray the things that will make you or make your church into the group of people that you need to be in 5 or 10 years' time. So, why do we have to keep repeating in prayer? I don't really know. The scripture has some clues. In the book of Jeremiah, it talks about God's word being like a hammer that smashes the rock to pieces. While we've been digging our foundations out there, we've come across a lot of big rocks and huge lumps of concrete in the wrong place. And, you know, you get a big hammer and you hit it and it doesn't break. And when you hit it and it doesn't break, you don't stop at that. You have to hit it and 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 hit it. You keep on hitting until it breaks. That'd be great if everything broke, you know, with one prayer. But it doesn't. And like with that hammer, every blow makes a difference, even though you can't see it. You know, you hit it, nothing seems to change. But you hit it 10, 20, 30 times. It does put hairline cracks in that get bigger. You know, it really does. It makes a big difference. And eventually, if you keep hitting it, it does break. And that's what praying God's word is like. Because if you're praying the prayer that God gives you to pray, you're praying God's word. That's what Jesus is praying. That's what the Holy Spirit is praying. If you can find that prayer, the prayer that is, you know, the plan of God for your life or for your church, that's God's word. And so you have to, you know, by faith, you're the one that holds the hammer. And there's a story with Elisha in the Old Testament, and the king, you know, Elisha went to this king, and the king goes, take the arrows and strike the ground. This is the victory of God over your enemies. And the king just feebly struck it 3 times. And Elisha was cross with him. And he goes, you should have hit the ground many times and continued hitting it, because if you'd have done so, you'd have completely destroyed your enemies, but as it is, you'll only have three victories. And I think it's like that in prayer, that we get the right prayer and we just pray it once or twice or three times. And then because we don't see anything visible or we get discouraged, you know, we think, oh, I've prayed that, it's not going to work, I need to pray something else, and perhaps I'm praying the wrong thing. Instead of really understanding that God's word is like a hammer that smashes the rocks to pieces, and understanding how that works, and praying over and over and over again. Isn't that what Jesus himself said in the parable of Luke 18 with the persistent widow? We all know the story, don't we, that there was this widow, and Jesus goes, I'm going to tell you a story to show you that you should always pray and never give up. That's what this story is about. It's to help you to always pray and never give up. And he goes, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. And there was a woman who kept coming with the plea, give me justice against my adversary. So every time that woman came, she said the same thing, the same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. And in the end, the judge got so sick of it that she got it. And that passage ends, I didn't put that scripture up on here, but I should have done it. It said, and will not God answer quickly his people who cry out to him day and night? It's one of the great scriptures that recommends day and night prayer. It does make a difference if you pray the same thing a lot. If you pray all day, every day, and if you pray all through the night, you know, you keep going day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. God will quickly give you what you're asking, of course, if you're asking the right thing. But if you're praying God's word over and over again, then God says that he will give it to you. And so that's a different type of prayer, isn't it? It's a prayer that we're not often used to in prayer meetings. We try and make the prayer meetings interesting. We pray a bit for this and a bit for that. And some of that is for our own weakness, because people can't focus often on the same thing over and over again. We need to get better at that. And, you know, if we're wanting to expand our own prayer life, we need to learn to be like that woman that just takes one thing and goes again and again and again over that.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, of course.
I've said that.
Have you?
Yeah, because I was involved in the occult.
Okay.
I didn't realise it was wrong.
Mm.
I just thought anything spiritual was of God.
Mm.
And I was involved in the occult.
Yeah.
And when I became a Christian, and, you know, I was like Paul, really, the Damascus Road experience, you turned around.
Mm.
And so when I was coming out, the pressure was on me from the enemy. I'd been in his camp, and he didn't want to lose me.
No.
And I can remember reading the Bible and reading that,
Amen.
And it was a eureka moment for me.
Fantastic.
Avenge me, my adversary.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
And I think, you know, in the armour of God, when you mentioned it earlier on, when you said pray in the Spirit, it says, what's the word, the few words before that? About the sword of the Spirit.
Oh yeah, take it.
Which
this
is
the
word
of
God.
Yeah.
Pray in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Pray in the Word.
Amen.
You know, it's like if there's anything planted that isn't of God, then it's got to be uprooted. There's that passage.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I prayed for with the occult thing.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not been planted by you, Lord, then uproot it.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
So I think that's how I pray. I pray the word.
Yeah. It's powerful to pray the word of God, isn't it? Both the written words and also what I'm going to talk about in a minute, which is finding the promises of God, finding the dreams of God for you. Now, that often is the word of God, but it might not be a passage. It might be one word from here and one word from there, and one word from somewhere else. So on my journey of learning how to pray in this way, you know, I've told you many occasions, I'm a great lover of the monastic life, and I was reading a lot about that, and about how they pray. And often they use rosaries, and again, Keris Message Church will feel it's, you know, bad and wrong. And I don't pray to Mary, just make it clear. And I don't pray to the saints, I pray to Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. But the whole thing about the rosary is nothing to do with Mary, and it's nothing to do with praying to the saints. It's actually just a counting thing, and it's actually just to help you focus. And I find it really interesting that some of the prayers of the Bible, we've talked about the Lord's Prayer, we've talked about, you know, the woman, we've talked about the apostolic prayer, but the prayers of the elders in heaven, I think I talked about that another week in Revelation 4, it says, day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And what I find really interesting about that, when John saw that vision, it was in whatever the year was, about 60 AD. But Isaiah had seen exactly the same living creatures 700 years before, and they were saying exactly the same words. And he goes, day and night, they never stop saying. So literally 700 years, they'd said the same thing. Now that is a role model that we understand nothing about, isn't it? And it's not meaningless, it's not vain repetition. The scripture talks about, don't use vain repetition. But every time they prayed, they used their mind to seek to understand it. They looked towards God, and every time they looked, they got more revelation of how holy God was. And sometimes when you repeat a prayer like that, it's not because God is deaf, it's because you're deaf. And the process of speaking and praying it is actually a process of dawning understanding, that as you say it over and over, each time you say it, you understand this a bit more. And so that prayer, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And so I started learning how to pray like that. And I got a rosary and, started just to help me, focus. Each time I prayed it, I'd move a bead on, holy, holy, holy. And each time tried to make it meaningful. And I was teaching in a Bible school about this one day, about contemplative prayer. And there were just a few young ladies there. And I said to one of them, I said, right, I want you to go off and just 10 minutes, pray this prayer, holy, holy, holy. And we'd gone about 2 minutes and they were meant to be praying. There was this bang like this. And one of the young ladies had just been praying and just gone out in the spirit. As she was just praying, holy, 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 she just met with God and just fell, bang, straight from standing up onto her back, because she just met God so powerfully. And so I really recommend that, learning to pray that way, because when you pray words that you don't need to think about with your mind, but your mind is involved, somehow you can pray words like that powerfully from your spirit, actually from all your being, because your heart is involved, your mind is involved, your spirit is involved. You pray them over and over and over again. That really helps you to encounter God. And that was a great revelation for me. That was a type of prayer no one had ever talked to me about, and I'd never really experienced that. And so I started learning to pray like that. And then I started to see that with biblical prayer, the choice of words is actually quite important. More than we think. Words have great creative power. And so, many times in the Old Testament, God gave someone a specific name. Jacob became Israel, or Abraham, or whatever. And somehow the name was a part of the prophetic creating of that person. It wasn't just a random word. I mean, Jesus, it wouldn't have been the same if he was just called Fred. You know, it really wouldn't. Because Jesus meant something. God spoke those words over him and it became something. And words have creative power. And that's why with our prayer, when we're praying this type of prayer, if we can work out the words that God wants us to pray and get them right, and pray them over and over again, we're going to create something very powerful and special in our own lives and in our churches. And I saw it in the scripture, well-known scripture in Numbers 6, verse 24. This just illustrates the principle that I'm talking about. So when Aaron became the priest for the first time, he'd just been a normal guy before that, same as everyone else, and God picked him and his family out and said, okay, you can all be the priests. And I want you to put my blessing on the people of Israel. And this is how you do it. To bless these people, what you have to do is you have to speak specific words over them. And this is the words, we all know the words. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, or give you grace. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you shalom. The prayer means a lot more in Hebrew than it does in English. And then he goes, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. And that's another example of these prayers where the priest had to say those exact words over and over again. Every time, in fact, a few times every day, they were to speak these words over the Israelites. And they couldn't just get the general gist of it and God just bless them and just be nice to them. And it had to be, these were the words that God chose, and these words would create specific things on the people of Israel. So let me ask you a question now, and this is the question that God asked me. What does God want to produce in your life over the next 5 or 10 years? Don't think in short term, this week, next week. Think of 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. What should you be like as a person in 10 years? What should your ministry look like in 10 years? And what are the prophetic words that you need to speak in prayer over your life, again and again and again and again, to let you become that? What are the rocks that are in the way? Rocks of unbelief, rocks of pride, rocks of anxiety or lust, or, you know, we all have different rocks in our life, don't we? We all have valleys or mountains or both of them in the way. And if we spend time waiting on the Lord and asking him, he will show you what those things are. And like Paul did with the Ephesian church, God showed him what the problem was, and he prayed again and again and again and again for those problems. And guess what? If you ask, you shall receive. So why not ask for the really important things that will make you an absolutely transformed, Holy Spirit-filled, amazing person in 10 years' time. And so, I started this process, and when I started it, I realized that this was not going to be a short process, this was going to be a long process. And I realized that I needed to work with God to get several different prayers, because, you know, different prayers will affect different areas of my life. And I really wanted to work on them. And I did. I probably spent over a year on this every day. And of course, I was, you know, I had a lot of hours to spend on it. And so I realized that I needed to spend time with every member of the Trinity. And I think I've talked about that previously. I needed to spend time with my Father, with God, with Almighty God. I needed to spend time with Jesus. I needed to spend time with the Holy Spirit. And I probably needed to pray different things, you know, to each one of those. I need the Holy Spirit to come and do different things to what I need to ask Jesus to do for me. And I need to ask my Father to do different things for me. And then there's also prayers that are not to do with God, but that are to do with me, because the problem isn't God, it's to do with me. And so I don't think I put these on the... I think that's probably it for the PowerPoint, yeah. But over the course of months, I came up with a number of prayers which I started to pray very often, and I still pray very often. Not every day, but often. And to me, praying these prayers, I'm going to read some of them out to you in a minute, but praying these prayers had the same effect, really, as praying in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, you can't really understand it, but somehow you connect with God and you are praying. It was a bit like that with these prayers. I'd meet God, I'd encounter God, His presence would be there. My mind wasn't involved in a way that would keep me away from God. I didn't have to think and work everything out because I knew the prayers off by heart. But they were very much prayers of my heart, because they were prayers that touched areas that I knew I needed to change in, or prayers that I needed to pray. So here's a few of my prayers, okay? And in a minute, we're going to have a bit of a practical time like we did last time. And I'm going to give you a bit of time. And if you haven't got a pen and paper, I'll give you one. And just to see, you know, you can start a process tonight of trying to think of one prayer, or trying to think what you need to become in 10 years' time, what are the things that stop you getting there. So, you know, we're going to do that as a practical exercise in a minute. But so here are some of the things I prayed. The first one, first of all, I'd pray the Lord's Prayer, because, you know, just because Jesus said, when you pray, say this. And I thought, it's not something I choose to pray, but that's probably because I don't understand enough about what prayer is and what God wants me to pray. So I probably need to pray that, because Jesus told me I need to pray. And as I've prayed that more and more over the years, you realize how all-embracing that is. You know, if you basically put your heart and soul into praying the Lord's Prayer, it covers almost all of life, actually. It really does. Yes. You know, you can expand on certain bits of it, but it really means a lot. And to pray that prayer with all of your heart and all of your mind and mean every line in a deep way, that's a powerful, powerful prayer. So I'd start off and...
Dr. Larry Lee, he actually did that, the Hour of Power.
Did he?
It's the Lord's Prayer.
Wow.
Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? There's another book he's written, and some we've done it as well. Every single line, you take each line of the Lord's Prayer and you pray it through, and each line has different aspects of what that means. Wow. And you pray that through, and you pray for as long as you want. You stop the next day, or the next time you come to a prayer time, you start off where you finished.
Wow.
And you keep just rolling,
yeah,
and rolling for the prayer.
Wow.
The Lord's Prayer.
Yeah,
and I said it'll easily take an hour,
yeah,
to go through the Lord's Prayer and do it. And it encompasses everything.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, in that Lord's Prayer.
There's a lot in it.
Yes.
A lot in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So I start off with that. And then I pray the prayer that is the elders in heaven pray, because if you want a role model, they're the highest, you know, they're the closest to the throne of God. So I thought, yeah, I need to pray that. So then I pray, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Then I've added a few extra bits. And all my prayers that I've made, you'll hear them in a minute, they're all either just praying lines from Scripture, different promises and words taken from here or there, or if it's not a direct quote, it's using scriptural concepts. Many of them are direct quotes, you know, that I'm just praying the Scripture, specific Scriptures that I feel I need. So then, after I've said that, you know, in the same prayer, I often then say the line, "Great and marvellous are your deeds." That's from another passage in Revelation. "Just and true are all your ways, O King of the ages. I believe, help my unbelief." And I say that because I don't believe as much as I need to do that all God's ways with me and all the circumstances around me are great. They are. All of them are marvellous. You know, when I'm rushing along and my car breaks down, it's a great and marvellous work of God. And we so often miss what God wants to do because we think it's a disaster, but it's actually a great and marvellous work of God. And because we don't meet these things with faith, everything that happened to Jesus, he met it with faith. He knew that his Father was completely in control, and so it turned out to be. Everything that happened to Jesus was in the will of the Father. And so those lines I put in there because I need converting. I need to understand on a deeper level that all God's ways are just and true, and they're all his deeds are great and marvellous. And so I pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So I pray that that's one prayer that's to do with God the Father, not particularly as the Father, but as, you know, the great, all-powerful God. Then I've got a prayer that I pray to the Holy Spirit. And to the Holy Spirit I pray this: "Come, Holy Spirit." And sometimes, you know, that's just the first three words, but since I pray that and I wait until he comes, because he longs to come to us. So I go, "Come, Holy Spirit." And then I say, "Come with your wisdom, your revelation, and your power." Those three things are so important. It says in the book of James, "If any of you lack wisdom, ask the Lord, who gives to all men graciously, and it will be given to you." Mm-hmm. It's a promise. God gives you as much wisdom as you want.
Liberally and without reproach.
Yeah. Yes.
Different version.
Yeah.
More old fashioned.
Yeah. Well, I'm too young to understand that. that's what, the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and power. We need all of that, don't we? And then I say, "Lead me, teach me, change me, empower me. Help me to hear your voice and to live in your holy presence at all times." So that's my prayer for the Holy Spirit. And I love that prayer. There's so much in that. That if I pray that prayer over and over and over every day for years, you know, the Holy Spirit loves to answer things like that. So before long, you find that you're just living in this different way where he's leading you, he's teaching you, he's changing, he's empowering. You can hear his voice. You're living in his presence. I mean, isn't it amazing? That's much better than just praying about, you know, the gas leak and the food bill, and those things happen. But this is life. You know, this is the stuff that God is really wanting us to pray about. So then I've got a prayer that I pray to Jesus. I've got a couple ones, but this is my favourite one. "Jesus, my Lord and Saviour, my lover and my friend, fill me with your love, that I may burn with your passion, walk with your purity, serve with your humility, help with your patience, speak with your conviction, work with your power, suffer with your dignity, and give with your grace. Let me die to my old self and so become fully alive in you. one with Jesus. One with Jesus, who is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever.
Whereabouts is that, John, or is that what?
There's one that I wrote.
You wrote?
Yeah, it's one that I wrote. Yeah. So, yeah, that's also a prayer that I pray very often. And then I've got a couple of prayers that I pray. And, you know, I don't always pray all the prayers. Many of you, you know, it's broken now, but I had this beautiful rosary made. Some of you have seen it, stone, multicoloured stones. Maybe you've seen this, or maybe you haven't. It broke a year or so ago, and I haven't been able to find anyone to mend it. But there were 40 stones, and I you know, I felt the Lord lead me into this thing of, you know, there were 10 that were praying for the Father and 10 for this, praying about Jesus and so on. Each, and they all had different meanings. Anyway, and I used to go round this thing until it broke. I can't get it mended. Maybe that is the Lord's plan, I don't know. But the prayers are so much in me now, I don't really need that in the same way. So I've got another one. Would you cleanse me from my cold and selfish heart of stone and create in me the heart of Jesus, pure and holy, full of love and fire? That's just a little one. And then another prayer for myself. May my thoughts be pure and holy. May my words be a sweet spring of life. May my heart be full of hope, overflowing with joy, free from pride and the fear of man. May I be patient in my troubles, gentle and strong, judging no one, but considering others better than myself. And, you know, it took a while to write that prayer, but I just thought if I prayed that over and over, then I will change as a person. Some of these things that I've been praying now for quite a few years, I can see my character changing in those ways. Things that weren't there before are coming in. And so it really, really works. And I really encourage you to, you know, to work with this. And I'm going to give you a few minutes now to start a process. But, you know, it is a process. But if you want to go far with this process, you'll have to give quite specific time to it. And over the next few weeks or months, whatever, you know, give time. Work out what is Jesus praying for you? What is the Holy Spirit praying for you? What are the things you need to change in your own heart? Who is the person that God has created you to be? And so often our prayers are about things that we're doing as well, especially those of us in leadership. You know, we want to do more, but what you do is just the fruit of who you are. And if you change as a person, what you do will be different. It will just happen. Just like an apple tree doesn't have to work at growing apples. It just, because it is an apple tree, apples just come. And if you're, you know, if you're right with God, if you're connected, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, if you're full of passion, if you're deeply concerned for others, all these things, you can't help but bear fruit because you are a fruitful person. You're connected to the vine and the fruit will come. And the key for all of that is praying the right things. And as you pray the right things, you know, the right fruit will come. So, let me stop talking.